Let me know when you're ready to rock.
All right, I'm ready. I'm going to pull up your, hold on, your message the other day, which I thought was good. I didn't really have much.
I should screenshot that so I don't have to dig.
I'm telling my wife, I'm doing a podcast, stop texting me. She's like, I'm 45 minutes into the day. I have the only car, so she's...
Same.
So she's stuck at home.
I'm right there with
and,
you.
And we also, we don't have the internet today.
Oh, no. Can she, like, tether off her phone?
That's what I forgot to teach her how to do that.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm going to show her, though, on my...
Do it.
Hold on, wait, actually, before.
Yeah, no. Here, I'll just... Well, whatever. I can just delete it. I got time, man.
Hold on.
Are you going to just text it to her?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to spend 1 minute calling my fam. Hello. You want to say hi to Steve?
Hey, how are you?
What's going on? How's Wade doing? Wade! Hey, buddy. What's daddy wearing? What's this? Wade. What's this? All right, good talk. You're good. You don't have to follow him around, Kristen. I'm going to hang up on you in about 2 minutes or a minute or so anyways. Everything good over there? Sweet. We're here. We're in the parking lot. It took 22 minutes to get here. Well, we're gonna record a podcast here in about 5 minutes or so. And we'll probably make our way over to Xfinity Live at some point. We'll fart around in the stadium, see what's going on over there. You know, so... All right, catch you later.
See ya.
Yep, love you, bye.
Love you too, bye.
I think we've set up tethering. Yeah.
How learning a new technology literate is your wife? Mine, I would give her a D-.
Okay, I was going on a 1 to 10 scale.
Okay, yeah.
I was gonna say about a 2.5.
Okay.
Because she's capable when she wants to.
Right. Yes.
So we recently cut all our cable and we replaced it with Hulu Live.
We do YouTube TV.
Okay. Yeah, I think they're pretty very similar.
Yep.
So you go on our TV and you hit the, you know, it's a smart TV, you hit the button and you go to the Hulu, and then there's a, you know, there's different tabs, and one says live, and it's actually very simple.
Yeah.
This is 3 months later. The other day I was out getting coffee. And I got it. We can't get the... It was Thanksgiving. I was getting coffee and getting bread. Katie's like, we can't find the TV. Kids want to watch the parade. And I'm like, it's been 3 months.
Come on.
Like, it's been 3 months. Now she knows how to do it.
Okay, it took my wife 7 years to figure out what an HDMI cord was.
Uh-oh. Okay, you go, send me the password. I'm like, there is no password.
There might be.
I do it all the time.
One's built in, right? But if she's setting it up for the first time, it might be set up. So if she goes into that settings and hits show password, she'll see it. I got the intro. What's going on, everybody? This is, what is it? Episode 8? I don't even know what it is now.
Hi. I was lost after episode 2.
We are live. I mean, you won't be hearing it live, but we're live here in Philly. We're actually in Wells Fargo Center's parking lot, which is just directly across the street from the Link. It is, what time is it? It is 9:00, and we're getting some tailgating in. We're getting some dings on Steve's car from people that don't know how to throw footballs properly.
Not us.
Yeah, not us. Yeah, we know our accuracy and our limits. So
we were discussing that we're the Chad Penningtons of football.
Yeah, I mean, we just have great 15 yards and under accuracy, whereas these guys were trying to, you know, drop the, I don't know, the Michael Vick.
Well, I was going to say, what quarterback would you...
You know, who was it? It was it Kyle Bowler for the Ravens? I want to say in like the early to mid 2000s that they said could throw 70 yards from his knees. That is insane.
I was thinking more like Jeff George.
Jeff George.
Going back a while ago. Great arm, but
oh my gosh.
Didn't really put it together.
Well, welcome into this episode. We're excited for the Titans-Eagles game. We're going to watch A.J. Brown crush Steve's dreams here.
He's already done that when he left the Titans, so this is just going
to be That's fair. That's fair. You know what, though? That's on you guys' GM. I mean, he didn't have to click the accept button. He could have hit decline or he could have hit counter.
Wouldn't it be interesting if in the NFL they actually, you had to process
There's
the
an
trade
app.
Through the app? And you actually got to see them, you know, like that was the official mechanism.
Yeah.
Like I think there's actually like you have to do a fax and you have to sign some paperwork.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I want there to be an app that all the GMs have and then they could like, you know, randomly like, you know, instantly like make these trades on a Sunday night when they're depressed after a loss. Like I could just see, you know, the Philly GM being like, okay, putting A.J. Brown in the trade block like it was sleeper.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine the Twitter stuff that would get, like, leaked out there? A.J. Brown, like, literally on the trade block. That'd be insane.
And they should be able to do it, like, during the game, too. You know, all of a sudden you see, you know, Devonta Smith with a big drop, and it's like, whoa, we just ended up in the trade block.
Oh, my gosh. People are like screenshotting the actual offers and dropping them on social media. Could you imagine?
That would be awesome.
Oh my gosh. We would have like a paper trail of like the historical offers that got sent. And that I would, you know, in 2008, I think it was, the Eagles offered the Cardinals offered Larry Fitzgerald to the Eagles for 2 first-round picks. Yeah, I think I want to say Larry Fitzgerald was probably 26, 27 at the time. I would have loved. Eagles declined. 2 first-round picks.
Oh. Yeah.
I would love to physically see that tangible trade offer and it not just be a rumor. Anyways. Hey, man. Larry Fitzgerald's one of my all-time favorite players. So why don't we jump into some Forever Dynasty stuff now that we have shot the breeze here for a little bit. Why don't we just do overview of the league? Like, what are you seeing... Just from a, you know, big picture, you know, one of the first things that pops into my head is, you know, Tim Brady, good team, not the dominant team we've seen from him, you know, year in and year out. 5th seed currently, pretty likely to make the playoffs, like probably 90%, I would say. What are your thoughts on just big picture?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll start with Tim Brady. I mean, and he started off the year hot. He definitely started off the year thinking, okay, this is another... We're looking at a three-peat here. We're going to rename the league. We should just, you know, concede, especially after we had a situation where he entered the disbursement draft. And instead of going through the typical process after you win 2 championships, which is rebuild, take a couple years off, and he just decided to go back in and win... Slumping recently, and it's really opened the door. So I think if you know you had to kind of picture, okay, what is this league about this year? It's really more wide open than it's been in the past because the you know the favorite is someone who right now is looking very mortal. I mean, I have the same record as Tim Brady, and it's something I wouldn't think about saying in week 13. Maybe that's not fair when you look at my roster because it changed a little bit. But
slightly.
Really, Double Dizzle's come in. I think that's one of the other stories we have to have here because he's joined the league this year and really taken a team that was, again, in the disbursement draft. So he came in the same situation as 5 other managers and taken it to a 10-2 record. Now, we could certainly discuss whether or not this team has the longevity, but, you know, life's also short, and he's 10-2, and right now is the favorite to be the 1 seed by a substantial amount. Not only, by the way, 10-2, but he's leading the league in points scored, again, by a pretty substantial margin over D91.
Yeah, over 200 points, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at, there's probably 5 teams here that I think have strong championship shots here. You know, Dingling's put together a nice season. He's almost certainly going to end up with a first-round bye. I mean, if you were to lose two in a row in D91-1-2, or Troutman for that matter, you definitely could see that switch. You know, odds there are pretty low that that would happen. But, I think I've been more critical than you of Troutman over the last year and a half of his roster. Not like him as a person, but like of his roster. But now when you look at it, it's gotten deeper. I still wouldn't call it deep, but it's deep enough to where he's got a couple guys on the bench, like Matt Collins sitting on his bench right now. Matt Collins is a playable player. You know, his whole starting lineup is guys I want to start. Josh Jacobs has been insane. His quarterbacks are really good. Now, he did take the downgrade where which quarterback was it that he moved for Trevor Lawrence? It was Kyler. To you, wasn't Kyler. It? Yeah, yep. Kyler. But, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is – what is he on the season? He's quarterback 10 on the season. So, you know, he's been fantastic himself. And, you know, my question for him was always going to be, would he be able to survive the bye weeks and the injuries? And now that we're near the end of the season, the answer is yes at 8-4. With a lot of points scored, you know, one of the, I think, top three in the league. And who have I not mentioned?
I think Troutman's team, I just want to say about this, it's one of the most interesting teams because it is overall a young team. Now there's, you know, Tyreek Hill, a little bit older. Certainly Pat Mahomes, a veteran. Gibson, Jacobs for running backs are kind of, you know, mid-age. But it is overall a very young team. There are no draft picks other than 2023 second from Junkyard in order to kind of replenish this team. And it is, as we've been talking, pretty not deep, although not as bad as it used to be. I think in terms of top-line talent of a starting lineup, it is the best, youngest lineup in the league. But the question is, if any of those players don't pan out or Hill slows down, you know, there may be some trouble in the future years, but I mean, I don't see a reason why Troutman can't win this year based on this lineup.
Yeah. You know, as I'm looking at his lineup, the thing that sticks out to me the most, and this wasn't meant to end up being a Troutman podcast, but he's just got a really interesting roster, is he's starting both, you know, Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill every week. And they've been outstanding, especially Tyreek Hill has been, you know, just otherworldly. I will say, you know, as I was looking at playoff matchups, the Miami Dolphins have a really tough, especially for Tua, a really tough fantasy road, you know, in the fantasy playoffs. And so this is such an interesting situation to where if Tua outperforms what we expect, he could ride those two to a championship. And if Tua struggles, he's not going to have a shot because he's going to have so many of his eggs in the Miami Dolphins basket. Now, those eggs have led him to an 8-4 record. So far, it's been great. D91 was the team that I obviously need to mention here. Probably the oldest good roster I've ever seen in any dynasty league that I'm in. You know, all of his running backs are 26 and older. His receivers are, you know, 30 years old for the most part. Tom Brady is the starting quarterback. You know, other quarterbacks we don't expect to have more than maybe 1 year of starting left. This is a team. DeAndre Hopkins is on a bye. I didn't even see him initially. James Conner. It is an old, old, very good roster. Mark Andrews gets second best tight end in football. What are your thoughts on D91?
This is a typical D91 roster. I don't mean that negatively. But I mean, you know, he has a strategy of putting these teams together, and they've clearly worked previously, so I'm going to not doubt him here. You know, I look at the roster, my first question is second quarterback. But he's gotten to a championship game before with a very weak second quarterback, and that's kind of always his strategy. So, look, I think D91, I mean, for a win-this-year-now situation, this is an awesome roster. He's going to have to think about how to do this going forward, but there's a lot of ways, especially in this league, to reprioritize and to go forward. But, yeah, look, I don't want to face this. Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey, I think I could just stop at that point.
Yeah, you know, let me transition this conversation because just before we had started the podcast, you and I were talking about what disbursement would look like. And D91's team, I think, is the most interesting conversation for disbursement because – he's super win now. He's got the second most points in the league. And so, you know, as you've positioned your team now where you're a little bit at risk to miss the playoffs, you're at risk to possibly be in the same boat as me, as where, like, I'm at risk to be dispersed. Let's just start that whole conversation. Let's start it first with us and then move it back to D91 and any other teams you think have a really interesting decision to make. Let's just go specifically to you. You made some moves around the deadline to where you kind of lightened up your win now perspective and more heavily got, you know, more future focused. What were your thoughts there?
Yeah, so I made an intentional decision after beating NGC. I think it was not last week, so it was week 11. I put myself in a position where I was 7-4, and I thought, looking at everyone else's rosters and schedules, that I could probably still make the playoffs and avoid the disbursement draft. I felt pretty confident in that. Now, I think that was a little bit of a miscalculation. I think Stevie kind of put together a good week, beating maybe a team I didn't think he could. And I think he's gotten a very favorable matchup this week, being me. So things haven't worked out exactly how I wanted. But from my perspective, I looked at the teams that were there, and I didn't see myself winning this year. Unless I moved all my 2023 firsts, which I could have and made a run for it, I just didn't see myself winning this year. So I decided to trade away some of those players. But I made sure I didn't just get depth. I was able to get Ja'Marr Chase, who I think is probably the second best wide receiver in football, arguably the first.
Pure superstar.
I wanted to build around Chase. I regretted trading him away last deadline. So I wanted to rectify that. I also got Kyler Murray, who I turned into your first round pick. Which the reason I did that is it gives me now significant odds to get the first overall pick. I'm going to probably own 5 out of the 6 lottery picks.
Whew.
So,
ooh, baby.
Now it won't, which will probably be the first overall and then the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Right. But I mean, anything can happen in the lottery. And even like the 6th team, it's not like you have 1% odds. You got
it's 7%
or something like that. I don't have it off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, it's, you're going to have, by a mile, the best opportunity to have top 3 picks.
So
there.
Even if I don't get the first, end up with the 2nd and 3rd, I feel very comfortable. I have some great players to build around. And I was willing to do that now, do what I did, which is think I got some good deals that better, trade deadline deals, better that I can get in the offseason. Traded away some other pieces that I think are going to decline in value in the offseason. Not significant declines, but I thought they were declines. So I made this bet in that I wasn't going to end up in the disbursement.
Right.
It's not looking great right now.
Right. So let's talk about that. So this doesn't mean a whole lot, but it's just a thing you can look at. You're projected for 97 points this week. That's the lowest in the league by 10 points to Cody's 107.
Yep.
We know sleeper's projections don't actually mean anything, but it just gives you a barometer of like, okay. So I'm going to ask a really tough question. Do you think you win a game the rest of the year? Based on what your roster is at right now, I think we would agree you have the worst starting roster rest of season.
So I'd say the answer is I don't think I'm favorited to win any game the rest of the year. I think if I need to, but let's say if I have a 30% chance of winning any of those three toilet bowl games.
Right? Hey, we got the calculators out.
So
I love
out,
it.
Things you don't think you're doing on a fantasy podcast, but that's.
You got a 30% chance to win one game times 3 games, because you're not going to end up with a bye.
So obviously. I counted a 66% chance of winning one of those three.
Right.
Assuming I have a 30% chance of winning, and I think that's pretty fair considering I probably have better competition in the first round and then you and Cody in the next two. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's not a 0% chance I make the playoffs. So, for example, right now, I have a 50-point non-edge against Stevie. I think that's the key here in terms of points scored. Assuming he beats me this week, we'll be tied at 7-7. Mm-hmm. Then the question is, okay, what happens in the final week? We don't know what the standings are going to be yet. He might get put up against Double Dizzle. And I am still going to probably have Junkyard
Right.
Now, Junkyard's team is much better than mine, right? No question right. about that. I don't need to say anything against Junkyard. But he's projected this week to score 125. I'm going to have Marquise Brown back, and my 97-point projection includes the fact that Dawson Knox had a big zero.
Yeah, that's very fair. That's
so
very fair.
I think when you add in Marquise Brown and give me that, it puts me maybe at about a 35% chance, my guess, of beating Junk. So I still think even if I lose the week to Stevie, I still have a chance at the playoffs. So I would say the odds of me missing the missing the disbursement draft are still like three quarters.
Yeah, and I think that's probably true of my team too. Now I've got the first round bye, and in the second round I probably play a team that's much better than mine. You know, I face a Junkyard, I face, you know, an NGC, something like that, and they most likely beat me. But in the finals, I'm probably going to face, you know, a Cody or you or, you know, someone. Maybe someone gets unlucky and one of those better teams falls in, and that's totally possible. It's going to be so weird rooting for the worst team to play against me. I don't know why that's, you know, but what was your philosophy of, like, if I get dispersed, like, I, not philosophy, but just, like, what were your emotions of, like, if I get dispersed, this is going to be very negative, a little negative, maybe positive anyways. Like, what was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, that's, at first, it was the very negative, like, I don't want this, I've been building up to this, I'm finally at the finish line, I got all these picks.
Especially the 2023 first.
Yeah.
Like, those have been so highly coveted for so long now.
Yeah, and they're going to just gain in value. So it was very disappointing. But the more I looked at it, and I really started to evaluate who may go in, who may not go in, it may be a slight negative. I'm confident that even if I dilute my team somewhat with a team that maybe I don't think is as good as mine in terms of value, that I could come away with, you know, maybe just losing a first round or two first round picks in terms of value. Is kind of the way I was thinking about it. And if that's, you know, what if I, instead of saying, okay, you're going to get dispersed, what if I said you get knocked off two first round picks? I'd be really upset, but I'd survive.
Right. Okay, so yeah, would you rather be dispersed or would you rather get two random first round picks from your entire lot? You don't know what to, just two random ones. Which would you rather do?
I think the answer is I'd rather be lose the first, the two firsts. But I think practically, I think I'd take the disbursement draft because I'd have a little bit of confidence. And it's also a game. It's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'd rather take a shot and see if I can outdraft the other
person.
Yeah,
it was fun losing 30% of my roster's value. It was great. I love losing Josh Allen.
If you want to do it again this year, join me in the disbursement draft.
I might not have a choice.
Do you think we're going to see as active as the disbursement draft of last year?
You know, I hate when you ask that question because I can't give a great answer. Because the answer is so who gets forced in. You know, if it's Junkyard or if it's NGC, you know, they've got all right rosters, but do they have draft capital to back it up as well? Like, not really. So, you know, if you get in, I think it's a dog pile. You know, if I get in, I think it might be something like that. I think I value your roster a little higher than mine at this moment. And by roster, I mean, of course, the picks included.
Please don't value my roster.
Oh, no. Please don't value my roster. Speaking of that, I miss Jalen Hurts. Anyways, especially as I'm seeing all these Jalen Hurts jerseys walking around the car right now.
So I'm going to have to eat my words today when Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback.
Yeah, you know, you've been probably one of the biggest Jalen Hurts poo-pooers I know. What I should do is I should stand on top of your car and say, this guy hates Jalen Hurts. He thinks he sucks.
You're saying that too loud right now, even with the windows closed.
Oh, God. Oh, God, you're right. Oh, no. We're going to get killed.
Yeah, remember, they're going to think that you may share that opinion.
They haven't screened people for guns yet, so we don't know.
This is where the live part of the podcast gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I will explain a little bit of my Jalen Hurts thought process. It's not that I really dislike him, but let me explain where maybe some of my emotions come in.
Let me stop you for 2 seconds. Yes. Coming into this season, any criticisms you had of him I thought was fair, but go ahead.
Okay. So I think where I came out was when he was drafted, I was actually higher on him than probably most people.
Okay.
Because I thought it was actually a great situation for him in Philly. I thought Carson, it showed to me Carson Wentz was probably on the way out. I thought they were going to give him a chance. I liked, you know, the way his style worked with kind of the Philly team. I thought it could work, right? Maybe not a huge chance, but I actually traded for him. Sure. I gave away a second-round pick to get him. I was ecstatic.
Which I think he went for an early third. So, like, you pay it up in perspective of that.
I paid up. I actually liked him. Here's the story. So, at the end of his first year, he came in and played, what, 4 or 5 games?
Yes, correct. Okay.
And by all accounts, he was a bad football player in those 4 to 5 games. PFF had him ranked horribly low. The eye test showed he wasn't good, but he scored fantasy points.
His first game against the Saints, his very first start, was actually really good. And everything else after that was just like, well, he can run, but he can't do anything else.
Yes. So I saw from my perspective, and I sometimes am guilty of this, I look at people's real life play, and I said to myself, this guy is not going to be a great quarterback because in 5 games, he didn't do it. And it's not that I thought he didn't have a chance. But because of his fantasy production, people were treating him like this guy was, I don't want to say the next star, but way higher than someone who I didn't think, based on his performance, was going to be starting in 2023.
Yeah.
Or even 2022. And for me, when I see someone getting overvalued based on their fantasy performance, when their real life performance isn't good, that's an opportunity for me to take advantage of that, trade him.
Right.
So I just kept saying, okay, this guy, everyone's going to wake up and realize he's not going to be a starter because his performance is bad. Where I was dead wrong is his actual NFL performance has been phenomenal.
It's been
phenomenal.
Right. No quarterback is taking care of the ball better than him right now.
No quarterback has done that. And I don't know if I've seen the improvement, other than maybe Tua. I mean, I think you can look at both of those players. By the way, similar situation in that their
Josh Allen had a bigger level up than he did.
Yep,
but
you're right.
Sure. But sure. Otherwise, your point remains, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I was down on Tua. I was down on Hurts. And, you know, Allen I was down on. But, I mean, Allen has leveled up to a different level.
Right.
I think on Hurts I've kind of eaten my words a little bit. But I'm still surprised he is... made the actual NFL real-life improvement that I didn't think he would.
No, I'm right there with you. I honestly, like, I've been a little tiny bit higher on him than you, but it was more just based on the fact that, you know, I'm watching every game and I'm seeing he's taking care of the ball. That's the number one thing I'm going to look for in any young quarterback is, you know, are you being smart? You can overcome a lot of deficiencies if you make good choices. You know, we were having the whole Chad Pennington discussion earlier.
Yes.
You know, Chad Pennington couldn't throw the ball 25 yards. Yep. Like, he could, but he couldn't.
No.
And
no, he couldn't.
No, he couldn't. Just... But, like, he actually was a really good decision maker, and he had a fine career based on that. Now, God gave Jalen Hurts a whole lot more physical ability than he gave, you know,
Absolutely.
Chad Pennington. So, you know, if you could take that physical ability and you can get a little better every season and you could be a good decision maker in that entire time, you know, we look at guys like Jameis Winston. Dude's got a cannon. Dude can make any throw in the NFL. He's just a horrid decision maker. Having said that, he's still way better than Andy Dalton.
Yes.
But, you know, like...
That should have been obvious in college when he stole the, you know...
I mean, hey, I would do some things for some crab legs. I don't blame him one bit. I could go for some seafood right now. In fact, when we go over to Xfinity Live, I think they have a few seafood options.
Oh,
so
really?
We might have to take a peek. But anyways, yeah, it's... Jalen Hurts has really impressed me, you know, the entire first half of the season, you know, all the way up until, like, early November, I was just thinking to myself, is this real? Is this, like, because what I'm seeing is so much improvement so quickly, and it just comes back to me as, like, one, he's leveled up, but two, this is what a superstar receiver means to your team.
Yes.
You... Welcome to Philadelphia. Anyway, so, A.J. Brown, you look at Tyreek Hill going to Tua, Stephon Diggs going to Josh Allen. When you get a number one receiver, you find out a lot of things about your quarterback. And, you know, it's really paid off for a lot of these younger guys.
And, you know, I think you can also look at it the other way, which is when you start to build around a quarterback and they're not producing. Almost like Zach Wilson to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
They've invested in that offense.
Yes.
And the fact that Zach Wilson looks worse this year than he did, I mean, I think he looks worse this year than last year. You know, Trevor Lawrence, they kind of invested in that offense. Not really. A little bit. He's made a little improvement.
They did invest in it.
Not wisely, but they invested.
Right. That's a great way. You know, Can we say they didn't? Because Christian Kirk's been fantastic this year.
Sure.
You know, we thought they overpaid.
They overpaid.
They probably overpaid.
They did overpay. Yeah.
Okay, but if Christian Kirk is this for the next 5 years, did they overpay? No.
I don't know.
What did they pay him? $20 million a year? That's a ton. Okay, maybe they overpaid.
I'd rather have to trade a first and pay AJ.
Well, I mean, yes. You know, when you're a team like that, that's not, you know, you're not a superstar team. You're not a destination. You've got a ton of cap room and you've done a ton of losing. You almost have,
you have to overpay
players to get people to come. And to their credit, they at least spent the money.
They've spent the money and they've traded for Ridley.
Right, which, yeah, that's a quality player.
They're going to end up with a top, let's say, 10 draft pick, maybe top 12 draft pick. And there's a good chance they go wide receiver or offensive line. And I really like how they're building around Lawrence. And Lawrence looks good. I don't know if he's ever going to be Mahomes or Allen. But he's going to be a starting quarterback for 10 years, at least.
So I'm just realizing at this moment, I'm having a great conversation, but we're all over the place.
Oh, I know.
So let's jump.
This is what happens if we're not in front of a computer.
No, this is great. Let's jump back into the disbursement draft. Let's talk about some teams that would be most interesting. Let's talk about teams you'd be excited if they jumped in the disbursement draft, teams you'd be worried about. So a little bit of honesty. Sorry, I hope no feelings get hurt. We're just going to be, you know, transparent here. And maybe showing our cards isn't the smartest thing, but if one of us gets forced into disbursement, we don't really get any say anyways.
That's okay. I can show my cards. I mean, I'll start. I mean, I know this is low-hanging fruit, but Cody, I love Cody's roster because it would mix well with mine. It's young, but it's actually young with some really good talent in it.
Justin Fields, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Pickens, Burks. Yeah.
Look at his injured reserve, too. Bateman, Lance, and Hall.
Yeah, I didn't even real. Wow. Yeah, yeah.
I think this roster is loaded.
Two firsts, including one almost guaranteed top three lottery pick there.
Lots of seconds, lots of thirds. I mean, look how many. I mean, there's
future extra seconds, future extra thirds.
15 or 16, I can't count. 23 picks in total.
Yeah.
Super deep roster. I mean, I don't know if I would jump in if he falls in the disbursement, just because I like my roster. But, boy, this may be a better roster overall. Really good, exciting, young. I like it a lot. In terms of one, let's say that I maybe would not be excited about just because of, you know, mix. I mean, I'd actually say D91, not to pick on him.
No, you know, this was going to be the most interesting conversation because look at all that talent. But in 2 years, if you kept this roster exactly the same, it would be an abomination. Yeah.
This D91 roster, I don't know if he's going to go disbursement this year. I mean, it might depend on who's going in.
It might depend on his result, too, honestly.
Yeah, but look, I mean, this is a result that is, this is a team that's probably going to make the playoffs again next year. He's going to have a run. Would it be too early to disperse his team? Probably.
Well, and, you know, we make our disbursement call pretty early in the offseason.
Before.
Probably earlier than Tom Brady's retirement decision.
And before he decides to come back again.
Almost right, yeah. Almost certainly earlier than Alvin Kamara's suspension or lack of suspension. You know, almost certainly earlier than we know who the Texans draft, though, you know, Davis Mills, pretty much. Almost certainly earlier than Julio Jones's retirement or lack thereof. I can't imagine Hopkins retires, but.
No.
But I mean, Derrick Henry would be 29 next year. Like, we'll see.
Not to change, but can you see Tim Brady? I mean, he's had a disappointing first year after the disbursement. Could you see him jumping in?
Jalen Hurts, Dalvin Cook, Saquon Barkley, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Jonathan Taylor, Cortland Sutton. I'm just reading his roster out loud to kind of get a feel of it. Debo, Derek Carr, Leonard Fournette.
Don't forget Darren Waller in the injured reserve.
Yeah.
Might come back.
Brandon Cooks, Tyler Boyd. You know, not really any draft picks to speak of. He's got a second and a third in a few years here. Yeah, I mean, I could see it. He's got a really nice young core of, you know, Jalen Hurts. I still, in my heart, like, I think Saquon Barkley's young, because he's really not played a ton, and he's
only 25.
Yeah, he's still got plenty of years left. Debo feels young to me. He's 26. He'll be 27 here soon. This is one that I feel like if he flops in the playoffs, he might. But there's still enough high quality stuff here that I don't know that he's pinned into a corner. Of course, I thought he had a better team that he took into disbursement last year. So, yes. You know, I think he did it for the hell of it. I kind of did it for the hell of it. That's the thing about when you have a league like this where, you know, there's a little bit of money on the line, but there's nothing serious. So, like, it's not that people don't take it seriously. Like, people try really hard in this league, but they're a little bit more willing to do things that, like, if there was $500 on the line for each of us.
Of course,
you know, we're not.
We wouldn't have had a cup trade within 3 minutes. We would have thought about it longer.
Yeah, for sure. So, I would say, if you made me guess, I would say no, he doesn't disperse. But I'm not 100% sure by any stretch. Who else is worth kind of... let's talk about... let's go Dingling here. Dingling is, you know, 10-2. He's got a really nice record this year. He's got two superstar quarterbacks. One of them's kind of underperforming at the moment. But
talk about Zach Wilson.
Yeah, Zach Wilson. Now I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. I don't know what's been going on with him. Lamar Jackson started off the year 26, 47, and 47 fantasy points. And he's not broken 25 since then, and he's been in the teens almost every week.
That's shocking.
Yeah, it really is. He went from, I'm clearly the MVP of the league, to, you might bench me for a guy like Derek Carr. Like, what are we doing?
Nobody wants that on their t-shirt.
Oh, my gosh. Super good young running backs. Ramondre Stevenson, Kenneth Walker, Isaiah Pacheco taking a step forward here, looking good.
Dobbins and Goddard on the injured reserve.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I don't see it. Moore will be back when he's a better quarterback, DJ. Yeah, I think this roster is good, young. He's built something. I don't get a sense from Dingling that this is anything he'd consider. I mean, he's going to have a bye. I understand his record may not match his point performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see this. I think he'll stay.
I think I agree. Just going to mine, because I'm 0-12. If I don't get forced in, I'm pretty sure I won't jump in. Mostly from PTSD from last year. But, you know, I like the position I'm in with, you know, 18,000 first-round picks. And actually, it's only down to 8 now. But, you know, I've got some guys coming back from injury next year. Let me do one more team. This has always been the toughest one for me is Junkyard. If Junkyard were to get forced in, Mac Jones, Nick Chubb, Damian Pierce, Garrett Wilson, Justin Herbert. So
that's a big one.
That's a big one. But then after that, there's 3 first-round picks in the next 3 years. I don't know what's going on because, like, I look at Junkyard's moves on the surface. I never really have too much trouble with the moves he makes. He just is seemingly 3 years in a row now ending up with lower valued rosters. I don't know if it's his swings and misses on some guys. Like, we were thinking Mac Jones would take a step forward. He's been just...
I'm just going to blame it on him being a Cleveland fan.
Oh, okay.
That must explain it.
But he doesn't have Deshaun Watson on his team. He's at least acknowledged that we, you know, we're not going to support this nonsense. I don't know. You know, Taysom Hill looked like he could have been a starting quarterback there for a little while. That really improves your roster if that's the case. You know, Allen Robinson's absolutely nothing. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been absolutely nothing. Those guys are both hurt anyways.
Jerry Jeudy has been disappointing.
So disappointing. By the way, remember when I said he's done nothing in his career and you gave me crap for it?
Yep.
Okay, you were right, though. He had an 800-yard season, so it was not nothing.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has fallen off after a good start to the year.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of just players that have disappointed here.
Yeah, for sure. Jarvis Landry has
That Junkyard really jumped in last year.
He did, and I thought he came out significantly better for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're bordering. You know, actually, ironically, I think he still has a shot for the playoffs. So
he does. He's going to be in the playoff, I think, next week. We'll probably still be in the playoff bracket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If he wins this week, what would have to happen if he, yeah, he has to win. He has to win the next 2 weeks. You he or needs, Tim Brady has to lose the next two
that's
weeks.
That's exactly where I was going. Yeah.
And he does, okay, he needs Stevie to lose both weeks because he's almost 200 points behind Stevie. So he needs some stuff.
So that's really not going to happen, right? Because Stevie and I play each other this week.
Right.
So, well, sorry. What he would need is, he would need me to win this week. Tim Brady to
right,
lose.
Right, that's what he needs.
And then next week he would need both Brady...
That's not enough because...
And Stevie to lose.
That's not enough because Tim Brady is 400 points ahead of him.
And he needs to score a lot of points.
Right. Well, okay, so you... okay, so...
Junk.
In all reality, Junkyard
sorry,
is
limited. Sorry, we're trying here.
We're trying to work you in, buddy. You know, wait, is there a tie situation that could help him here? I don't think so. No.
Oh, interesting.
No, I tried. I'm trying to finagle for you, buddy. So, yeah, Junk is virtually eliminated, but, you know, based on our rules, he was in the first group. He would have been in the first group anyway because it would have been an odd number, so even yep. if he hadn't.
Well, next week, he'll almost certainly still be at that top group.
Yeah, who does he play this week?
Unless, of course, Shutter could jump into
Troutman.
That group.
He plays Troutman. He might not. Right, so.
So Shutter could jump into that group. Because Shutter has more points than him.
Well, no, because you have to be within... So we're 2 weeks away from the playoffs. You have to be within the same number of weeks away as wins to the sixth place person. So
yeah, no, but what I mean by that is you still need an even number. So you're going to have seven.
Right, ends. Okay, yes. Yeah, so he might still be in that
so
group.
So next week, Shutter may be in the, quote, playoff bracket. For
because he will have jumped. Junk, yes. Possibly. Okay.
Possibly. And well, Shutter is playing yeah. who this week?
Shutter has...
You.
Oh, congratulations, Shutter. You're going to be in the playoff group for next week. I don't know. I mean, does Shutter have his own pick? Let's take a peek. Nope, he does not. So you don't really care about that
That's
then. So. Oh, of course. You have everyone's pick.
Not
everybody. So you're rooting for me today.
I don't even know what the heck I'm rooting for. I'm just rooting for myself not to get toileted.
All right, so let's just do one other league really quick. We're going to step into another league that we do. Where it's our only matchup we play against each other today.
Brilliantly put together.
But Steve and I play in a league called the Next Great Football Dynasty, and I currently am projected for 171, and he's projected for 64. So
is that 164?
No, that was 64. Okay. So
just to make sure our listeners heard that.
I want to say we'll do a very, very, very brief, you know, like 5 minute recap of the game after we're done, because I know Steve's got to get home. But I want you guys to hear a little bit of emotion post game. I promise you, I will be more upset if I lose this fantasy game than if I lose if the Eagles lose today, because I'm going for a bye week. I'm two wins in a, you know, league median kind of a league. I'm two wins behind. I've got a real shot at a bye week, and gosh, if Steve is 3-21, and I think your only win on the year is against me.
No.
Or did you get a second win?
I had a second win.
Okay.
I don't even think I beat the median
did you know?
Once.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and
definitely
that,
your high score of the year is against me.
Yeah,
there's
and
no
that
question.
Was a matchup where I had like a 1% chance of winning, and it's slowly over the course of
creeped
Sunday.
Up.
And Zach was making jokes on the chat, like, oh, you're up to 5% now. And I know it wasn't actually a joke. I knew you were actually seriously getting concerned.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you scored 737 points on the year in that league. And I think you scored like 130 against me.
Yeah.
Which is easily double your average.
So with this league, you know, it's actually a little bit of history for those of you who aren't part of it, which I don't think is...
It's just Dizzle. That might be it.
Yeah. So a little bit of background here. Zach and I, going back to when this league first started, made a huge trade that kind of rattled everything.
Got one person to quit.
In that I basically had a win now roster. Zach had more of a future roster. And we basically swapped most of our rosters, which I know everyone listening to this league is also shocked about that we would do a trade like that.
Well, I think I sent you seven first round picks.
7 second rounds.
Yep. And you sent me, you know, 5 or 6 guys, the likes of Derrick Henry and Travis
yeah.
Kelce and, you know, guys on that level.
Yeah.
So.
And a couple of my moves otherwise haven't really worked out. Zach's whole roster has flipped over literally multiple times in that league. I'm still in a rebuilding phase. I don't have a quarterback. I'm starting Joe Flacco today. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the backup. So I guess if Mike White gets hurt.
I swear to God, if Mike White gets hurt in the first quarter and you have a big day from Joe Flacco,
yeah.
I'm going to throw you onto the field. Look,
I got 9 first-round picks. I got 16 second-round picks. So I got a very future put together roster here. No disbursement concept. There's a lottery contest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, look, I'm starting, you know, KJ Osborne and DeAndre Carter and Marquise Goodwin at my wide receivers here. So,
I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you make a call here. So I have been going back and forth between in this league. There's some efficiency elements to this league, so yards per carry is pretty important. Damian Pierce or Jamal Williams this week? I'm at a coin flip. Who am I starting? Your call.
Am I giving you the right answer or the wrong
answer? You can give me whatever answer you darn well please, but you have to tell me which one you're giving.
Damian Pierce?
Yeah. Damian Williams. You combine the names. So I'm starting
Damian
Pierce.
Damian Williams?
because Damian Pierce will outscore Jamal Williams?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
All right. Damian Pierce's last 2 weeks. Bad. In this league, -1.2 points.
I know.
0.7 points.
It was bad.
Yards per carry, 0.8, 1.6.
Who are the Lions playing against today?
The Lions are playing against, as I go ASMR, Jacksonville. It's favorable.
Yeah. All right. I switched my mind.
Yeah?
I would put in Williams.
That's who I had in before we started this discussion.
By the way, shout out to Dingling75. Thanks for the shout out that we just got on our chat.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. We'll have to drop a picture in the chat, and then I'll try to get the podcast out later tonight. We'll see. I might have to, you know, get some stuff settled at home. You know, we both have been gone all day. So, just take a last quick peek at these notes and see what else we haven't touched on we were discussing here. Oh, do you want to touch on a few trades that happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it. I'll let you lead off. I thought you had them. I think you had them screenshotted or pulled up or whatever. Yeah, let's discuss some deadline-ish deals. I think there was one maybe that we were going to discuss well before the deadline, but let's jump right in.
Yeah, let's do the first one, the kind of the pre-deadline one. This is between Junkyard and Cody.
Okay.
Really, so this was going back in September. And in this transaction, Junkyard received Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mac Jones, Damian Pierce, and Dizzle's 2023 first. Cody received, and this is an interesting trade for Cody, Elliott and Pollard, so the two-headed monster down in Dallas, an injured Trey Lance, and Treylon Burks, Tennessee.
And again, that first-round pick was 2023 Double Dizzle.
Yes.
That was going to Junkyard.
So, what were your immediate reactions when seeing this?
Well, you know, my first thought was good for Junkyard for staying in it. You know, obviously it doesn't look as good now. But, you know, Trey Lance is going to be a zero rest of the season. You know, you had Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard who looked like they could be in trouble based on the Dak injury. And, you know, maybe the offense wouldn't be nearly as productive. Of course, then Cooper Rush comes in and is serviceable.
Of course.
Above serviceable, honestly. You know, Damian Pierce breaks out. So that's a big win, that part of it.
Big win for Junkyard.
Big win for Junkyard. Treylon Burks, I mean, you could speak to it better. He's been
disappointing.
Disappointing for sure. Yeah. I feel like he's done some things in the last couple weeks, but like,
I haven't lost hope, but he's not, you know, what you would have hoped for in your first year.
For sure. The first round pick, almost certainly going to be a bottom three pick there. Yeah. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire has just evaporated. It's so disappointing. You know, you looked at the beginning of the season where
He was good.
You know, his snap counts weren't very good. His carry counts weren't even very good. But he was getting in the end zone. He was getting the premium touches. And you just thought based on the fact that he was overproducing, he would start getting more work.
And the opposite.
The opposite happened. And, you know, Pacheco's a seventh-round pick? Sixth-round pick?
Seventh, I think. Yeah, could be wrong.
And, you know, these guys are getting touches over him. Like, now he's injured, so...
And what about Mac Jones? I mean, he's literally fallen off the earth. I don't think he doesn't have a future. But clearly it's not the future we were thinking of.
Yeah.
At least last year. It's a lot more uncertain. I think you said it right. This is a move by Junkyard to stay relevant in 2022. And I thought it was a good move in that aspect, specifically at the time. Gets a starting quarterback, bet big on a running back, got that bet. got the draft capital that he could use to further his roster, and then got Edwards-Helaire, who we thought was going to be a top running back.
Yeah.
I think as it turned out, Elliott and Pollard, not dead yet. I don't know what the future holds for either of them.
I'm going to say this. Tony Pollard's been the best running back on that team for 2 years, and is definitely the best running back. And Jerry Jones will not allow Tony Pollard to be the guy. He just won't allow it.
Yeah.
He won't do it. It's insane.
Well, Pollard's a free agent. We don't know where he's going to end up. We don't know what Lance's future is, and Burks has been disappointing. So I don't even know if I could say who won this trade.
We almost need you need next year. If Trey Lance becomes something, it's a whole nother discussion, but like, you just know so little with Trey Lance right now.
Yeah.
It's very, very possible that the 49ers start Jimmy Garoppolo next year.
I think it would be intelligent for them to start Garoppolo.
Wow.
I mean, Jimmy gets no credit for what he's done. He's not a great quarterback, but he has taken them to a Super Bowl, to an NFC Championship game. He's had them win this year. I think they would be better off just saying, look, Lance hasn't proven anything one way or the other so far. He was, benched for the first year intentionally, and then he's been injured. So if I was the 49ers, what do you think you can get for Trey Lance? You could probably trade him and get a pretty decent first-round pick, is my guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you lost 2 years, so that's certainly contract value. Maybe a late first. But...
Yeah, you're probably getting a late, but, I mean, even still, like, especially a team... The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't they do something like that if Brady goes out the door? Wouldn't they give up the 23rd pick or whatever? Well, I guess they're a threat to not even make the playoffs right
but,
now.
But so. Even if you're a team that, I'm trying to think. If you're a team that has a mediocre veteran quarterback, have them come in and compete. What about a team like New England Patriots?
Yeah.
I mean, Mac Jones is perfect.
I thought Bailey Zappi was the answer, though.
Oh, we still have another 4 weeks. For Zappy to come back and lead them. Anyway, love this trade. Fascinating at the time. And I never thought I'd see Cody trading for Elliott and Pollard.
Yeah.
I don't even know where Elliott is. Still on the team?
You're looking at a screenshot.
Yeah.
I think he's been traded again. Seconds.
And that maybe help us to further evaluate this.
He's on Double Dizzle's team.
Yeah.
Elliott and Pollard for Elijah Moore. Boy, that's been a disappointment. A third and a fourth.
Okay, so that obviously hasn't worked out for Cody. I mean, Elijah Moore has been, I think, one of the top 10 disappointments of the year.
Oh, easily. I mean, I think reasonable people could have seen a possibility where Garrett Wilson was the best receiver. But it wasn't, I don't think any reasonable person saw Elijah Moore, like, not playing.
No.
Like, maybe he doesn't get volume because Zach Wilson sucks. Like, that was on the
table.
That
we could all say.
That was on the table. But not that his snap count would be 10%. Not that he would be a healthy scratch. Not that, like, what in the world?
It's Jets second round wide receivers have never panned out from as long as I have been watching football.
It's
disappointing because Moore played really well. And especially when you look at the tree he came from with A.J. Brown and... DK Metcalf, but Moore has really disappointed.
Denzel Mims, who literally invented the doghouse, is playing over him right now. I don't understand. I don't even think Denzel Mims is bad. I just think he was so buried under the doghouse that there's no universe that he should be out there. But sure enough.
So,
let's do one or two more here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I have two that involve me.
Oh, big head.
I think you picked these out.
I actually picked this one out,
okay,
yes.
Let's start, I think chronologically it makes more sense to start with
this
one.
Sure, let's do it.
So Troutman and I have our annual, we'll call it Jamar Chase deadline deal.
Yep, the half a team swap.
Yep. This one was tough to negotiate. I think Troutman can say in the chat, he'll agree with me here. We had discussed a trade like this for weeks, going back and forth. I had told him many times, I don't think this is going to happen. He kept going, and I think we finally found to a place where it made sense for both of us. So this is one of my favorite trades. I got Hollywood Brown, who's the architect of Zach's painful loss in 2020 that I'll never let him hear the end of. Kyler Murray, who I think is still a top 8 quarterback in fantasy for Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Devonta Smith, mixed feelings on, and I'm sure I'll have even more mixed feelings on after today.
Hopefully.
And Ja'Marr Chase, who I think, you know, I've said is, I think, the number two wide receiver. I think the number two flex player in all of football. So I got here two super high-end talents and two very, very useful wide receivers. And I traded away every player on my team with a heartbeat. Tyreek Hill.
Superstar.
Superstar. DK Metcalf. I think incredibly underrated. CeeDee Lamb, who I paid two arms and two legs for, if each arm and leg was worth the first-round pick. James Robinson, all right, not a huge piece, but, you know, I'm willing to throw that in there to get the deal done. Mechie, who I like a lot. Zach and I have traded him in a couple leagues together so mm-hmm. far, and it was a little bit difficult. And then the big one here, Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence more valuable to you than Tyreek Hill? Like, forget position that you're in, yes. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's close, but yeah. I value this in my head as Lawrence, Lamb, Hill, Metcalf, Robinson, and Mechie. Maybe Mechie, then Robinson. That's how I did my valuation.
Yeah.
All right, so when you saw this, any instant reaction to seeing this? Other than, what is Steve doing again?
No. I mean, my instant reaction was, you got the two best players. At least the Dynasty value players. I mean, Tyreek Hill's a better player than Kyler Murray.
Sure.
But I think Kyler Murray is worth more in a Dynasty than Tyreek Hill is. And then, you know, at the time you did this trade, this is a little less than a month ago, I still wasn't all the way in on Trevor Lawrence. And I still say that I'm not yet. But I've seen some things that get me excited. Like, I definitely...
Like last week's game?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's turning a corner here. I thought... It's so hard for me. Like, I'm looking at this trade. You're giving up three top 12 receivers.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting a top two receiver dynasty-wise, but you gave up a lot to do it.
Who was injured.
For sure. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
we're talking long term, but yeah.
Right. No, well, that wasn't my point. My point was, you know, as I looked at your roster, I thought you had a chance to at least win a playoff game.
Yeah.
And this definitely hurt the chances, especially with the injury. And, you know, Kyler Murray in the last, you know, several weeks has been dealing with his injuries, hamstring. I don't think he was injured at the time
he pulled
this. Was he? Okay.
Was.
Marquise Brown was out at the time you pulled the trigger on this. You gave up a lot of 2022 scoring for this, and you probably even gave up some 2023 scoring with Tyreek Hill being a specialist.
Agreed completely.
Having said that, you know, you're trying to build this super young, super high talented roster. When you get the two best players in most deals, I'm going to be on your side. Having said all of that, I thought this trade was fantastic for Troutman because he was so desperate for some depth. And the number one thing I thought that would hurt his season was injuries. He got out of injuries and got better.
Yep.
So, like, if you did healthy players for healthy player swap, I thought he got the better 2022 end of this deal.
Absolutely.
So for him to do that with some injured players, I thought, slam dunk for him.
And especially that he has no draft pick trades in here because he doesn't have the draft picks compensation.
Right.
This was very hard for us to work out a deal where he helped his chances in 2022 without giving up draft picks.
Yeah, it mirrors the deal last year a little bit, you know, where I had said to you, like, when he traded away some of his kind of younger players, are like, oh, he's selling. Well, no, maybe he's buying.
Yes.
It feels a little bit like that.
Yes.
You know, the players he's getting, other than Tyreek Hill, are all under 24. You know, so, well, maybe, is Metcalf 24 or is he 25? Whatever.
He's 25.
He's super young.
Yeah.
You know, Robinson seems like a guy that's going to be a RB2 for a team, not an RB2 for your team. Probably rest of his career. Yeah, man. This was a fascinating trade. I don't have a clear winner or loser.
I think it works for both of our teams.
Let me say it this way. Yeah. The clear winner is Troutman's 2022 chances.
Absolutely.
That's the clear winner in this trade.
Which is, by the way, I traded his first round pick the next day.
There you go. Do you ever, like, tangent, do you ever, like, when you know you're about to make a move that will impact the value of a draft pick, do you trade it before you do that? I do that all
depends
the time.
It depends on the league.
I do that all the time. Like, yeah. I will, and you've seen it, like, I put myself in a position where I look really bad, and, I mean, I am really bad in this league right now, and there was nothing I could do after trading you the pick that would have changed the value of that pick, so this is irrelevant to that situation. But there are times where I go, I actually really want to compete, and I'm about to make a whole bunch of moves to compete, but I look like a bad roster right now. I'm going to go sell my draft pick and then make all those moves. Is that dirty? Is that, what do you think about
that? You know, and I have to say, so going back to it, talk about a trade we did earlier this year. Mm-hmm. So I got Tyreek Hill from you.
Yep.
And I traded you your first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I got it back now. But my thought process was, there's no way Zach's going to finish this year this bad.
Right.
So I, in my head, I wasn't trading away one of the top three picks.
Right, of course.
Because I played fantasy football with you long enough to know Zach's not going to stay dormant this long.
Right.
He's going to use all this roster, use these draft picks, and you haven't this year.
Well, and you and I share, what is it, four other leagues.
Yes.
And my other teams do not look anything like this.
No.
You know, I'm more and less competitive in some leagues, but, like, I'm a playoff team in all of my other leagues.
Yes.
And so I don't like to do this, but I, you know, I looked at my roster and I said the fastest way for me to gain value is to not be a competitive team this year. And I'm trying really hard not to go winless. These next 2 weeks,
you got to win one before this
win. I want to win.
And I'll say this, that was part of my thought process with that Tyreek Hill trade, because I said to myself, this is Zach. You know, like, I'm giving him his pick back, but, like, he's going to then trade this off. And then, like, I didn't think that I was trading away the first three round, you know, top
right.
three pick.
Right.
Didn't occur to me. It's crazy as it sounds with your roster.
Well, and, you know, with the lottery, I guess there's an outside, very outside chance that it's the fourth overall pick.
Yeah.
Very outside, but.
Or even, yeah, no, they would be.
The lowest it could be.
Fourth. No, I know, because you're
finishing last.
Yeah, I saw that. I just looked at Cody's record.
Where did the, I had another trade that I
think this one, right? Is this the one you wanted to do?
Oh, yeah. Let's discuss
so,
that one.
A trade that I made with Tim Brady. Tim Brady, and this is a tough one. Tim Brady and I went back and forth a lot on the structure, but he gets Dalvin Cook and Deebo Samuel.
What's the date on this one? I'm curious about that because
the trade deadline.
Okay. Yep. That's a trade deadline.
That was a trade
so
deadline.
Cooper Kupp is hurt at this point, but go ahead.
Kupp was hurt. I get Kupp, a fourth, and then a first and a second, both in 2025 from Tim and Troutman. You know, look, my thought here was I'm getting, I think, a pretty clear value in. I value Kupp higher than Deebo, and I value the first and a second higher than Cook.
Right.
And Kupp's value, I think, in the offseason was just going to get a little bit better once he got healthy again. Maybe Stafford came back. Thought it was depressed a little bit. But I thought Kupp was a big value over Deebo, personally. I value him a lot higher. And I was happy to trade Cook for first and a second, because I don't think I'm going to get that in the offseason for Cook, who will be 28 at the time, I think.
You're 100% right. This is a great, you know, I had Kupp in a couple leagues. You saw me move him in one. The other one, I wasn't able to move him in leagues I'm trying to, you know, be competitive in. But, you know, Cooper Kupp, getting two guys you're very happy to start. I will say Deebo has been pretty disappointing these last several weeks. But in a league where you start 10 players,
yep,
you know, you're pretty happy to start Deebo, even if he's in a flex spot. And, you're thrilled to start Dalvin Cook every week. To turn a superstar into a superstar and a guy who we think can be a superstar. We saw it last year. And really the cost to do that exchange with your injured player is a, you know, first and a second 3 years from now.
Doesn't hurt him at all in 2022.
At all. It's a great, great move for him. But I do like the value side. The long-term side, I think, is clearly on your side.
Now, of course, Kupp is no longer on my team.
Right.
Because at the literal moment of the deadline as I was trying to change my son's diaper. I'm seeing Zach interested in cup, and we somehow pulled off that tray.
Well, you sent me the tray, I think, 10 minutes before the deadline. Yes. And I said no. I didn't hit decline, but I sent you something else, and it sat there, and it sat there, and I realized we're not negotiating a deal. Like, it's just not going to happen in that time. So I looked at it, and I said, it's this or nothing. And, you know, we've had this discussion several times now, but every single deal that I seem to regret is one where I don't end up with the superstar. I'm sending away the superstar. I click decline on getting the superstar. I said, oh, that's too much. Every time I regret that deal, you know, I have so many leagues where I traded away Travis Kelce in the last year.
Yes.
Regret. I have a league earlier this season where I traded away Derrick Henry. Got a great value end of it. Regret. You know, like, I got 2 first-round picks and Russell Wilson in that deal. Now, I gave away a little bit more, but, you know, like, regret. Because I could have been pretty clear front-runner for the championship, and Cooper Kupp is a guy that helps you be a front-runner for a championship. So
when he's healthy, he absolutely does.
Especially in a PPR league.
I want to pivot to one other league that you and I are in together, because we just did a trade that involves the game we're going to today.
No, don't talk about this.
I have to at least bring it up.
Pain. Okay, look, you got to do this trade, but why do we have to do it today or, you know, a couple days ago?
Yeah, right. So this week, you know, the trade deadline in this league,
doesn't exist. There's no trade deadline.
Right? There is
no.
I got Prescott. I sent away Stafford, who's going to, you know, be out
this year.
Miss
the season, right.
And Zach gets Derrick Henry.
I love Derrick Henry, and I have to hate him today. And I know he's going to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know, so in this league, I'll just give you a brief overview of my situation. Jalen Hurts locked into my lineup every week. I am starting Tom Brady most weeks. I was actually starting Dak Prescott over Brady here and there, but I've also got Garoppolo and Matt Ryan, and so, like, I'm fine. And actually, as I looked at the playoff stretch, I like Tom Brady's schedule a lot better than Dak Prescott.
It's fair.
So I was going to start Brady over Prescott in the playoffs. I'm locked into a first-round bye already, so I'm only looking at week 16 and 17.
Yeah.
So I'm starting Tom Brady over Dak those weeks. So my question was, like, how can I improve my starting lineup? Well, you know, Derrick Henry does that. But
yeah.
I have to root for Derrick Henry.
And I'm
going to
tell you,
do it,
it was absolutely in my mind when I sent that offer, knowing we were going to this game today.
I hate you.
It was 100% in my mind.
I hate you.
So, well, when Derrick Henry scores 3 touchdowns, I want to see your mixed emotions.
Look, there's not going to be any mixed emotions when I'm at a game. I will say, if it was like the fantasy playoffs
I would agree with you.
Nothing that happens today in that league is going to
matter.
Like, if Derrick Henry scores 0, the worst thing that could happen is, like, Derrick Henry gets hurt. Where's the wood to knock on? There's none in here.
Gotta get the cornhole back.
Reach way back there. But it's. I hate rooting against my team for fantasy. But I will say this, in leagues that I'm invested in, forever, I'm reasonably invested in the April Fools, you know, the next great football dynasty we were talking about earlier. In those leagues, I root for my team harder than I root for the Eagles.
I agree.
I do. Like,
yep.
I have impact on that team.
Yes.
I did things to create it. You know, I love the Eagles. I'm wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey right now. I didn't do anything to impact them.
Sorry.
Well, you're giving them some money. I was going to say, I'm giving them my money today. I gave them some parking. But, you know, it's... By the way, thank you so much again.
I'm thrilled you're doing this.
This has been a blast so far, and will, I'm sure, continue to be a blast. And hopefully, you'll have less than 3 or 4 new dings on your car.
I mean, I'm sure as soon as we walk away from the car, it's going to get worse.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Once they realize there's not people in it anymore,
then it's all gone.
So
that's why I dinged the car before I came. Not today. Not today. Just generally speaking.
Was that like an insurance fraud situation? Or probably shouldn't admit the call's over. All right, man. This has been a blast. We're gonna go. We're gonna go walk around, get cold.
Yeah.
Have some people swear at Steve for wearing a Titan. What Titans jersey you got on?
This is a Mariota jersey.
Marcus Mariota. Oh man. All right, I respect it. I mean, we're both wearing guys that aren't on the team.
You know, I always think that's the way to go. You're going to do it opposing. It's historical. No one hates Mariota.
No one hates Mariota.
Can you imagine someone looking at Marcus Mariota's jersey and, you know.
If you look at my basement, all the decorations I have down there, all the different sports stuff, almost all of it is guys that aren't even on the teams anymore.
Of course.
It's just so painful. You have to buy legends. You can't buy current players unless they've been, like, Texans, you could buy J.J. Watt. No, he's not there anymore. He's a Texans legend forever.
Tell you, I'm really happy I didn't buy that Jacob DeGrom jersey I was thinking about earlier this year.
I have so much Carson Wentz crap and Ben Simmons crap. Kill me.
Well, Ben Simmons, that one.
That one hurts real bad. Carson Wentz is just like, it just didn't work out. Ben Simmons is like,
No good memories for that one.
Yep.
Excellent.
All right, guys.
All right, let's roll.
It was a blast. Go Birds!
Yeah, we'll see.